Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of knowing the hope to which we are called. We have been invited to become sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ, and that gives us a hope that makes us fearless in the face of life's biggest tragedy, which is death. We're focusing on how to deal with the fear of death in this particular part of our series. We've made the point that the root of all fear is the belief that something coming against us is bigger than the power and resources available to us. But nothing can come against us that's bigger than God. The biggest something that can come against a human being is death. There's seemingly no answer for it, no undoing it. But death is a universal problem that has plagued mankind since the beginning of time. Everybody dies. The only question is when and how. We spent the past few days talking about the fact that men and women don't cease to exist when our body dies. At death, the inward man and the outward man separate. The outward man is our physical body. It ceases to work, dies, and it returns to dust. The inward man, which looks like your outward man, passes into the unseen realm, either heaven or hell, depending on if you have responded to Jesus in a saving way. And we looked at numerous examples of the fact that people separated from their bodies still look like themselves and retain their memory of life on earth. They're aware of where they are. There's no soul sleep. And then we looked at the fact that that knowledge can make you unafraid in the face of death. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they weren't afraid to die." Men and women who know this life is not all there is are not afraid to die. We're not afraid of death. Doesn't mean that anybody wants to experience some of the ways we die, sickness or accidents. I'm not minimizing that. But if you know that death is not the end, it can make you unafraid in the face of death. Now let's pick up where we left off. We made the point that Hebrews tells us that Jesus took on a full human nature so he could die. And at the cross, this is Hebrews 2:14-15, at the cross, he joined us in death to break the power of death and to deliver us from death in all its forms and to deliver us from the fear of death. Now, as wonderful as heaven is, it was never God's intention that human beings live as disembodied spirits in an immaterial world. Everybody who's in heaven right now is disembodied. That means they're separated from their physical body. I have friends and loved ones in heaven, and probably a number of you do as well. Well, they are disembodied. That means they're separated from their physical bodies, and they live in an immaterial world. Heaven is in another dimension, an immaterial dimension, or a dimension we can't see or touch with our five physical senses. Doesn't mean heaven's not real or less real. It's a different dimension. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But my point is, God gave us physical bodies to live in a physical world. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you will see that God made the physical body first. He formed Adam's body of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or a man with an inward part and an outward part. The body is not unimportant. The body is not expendable. God made us with physical bodies to live in a physical world. Separation from the body is an unnatural condition that has come to pass because of sin. Because of Adam's sin, we discussed this earlier in the week, according to Genesis 3:19, because of Adam's sin, our bodies die. That's why your body will die and my body will die. That's why your loved one's body died, because of Adam's sin. Physical death is a consequence of Adam's sin. God didn't make us to die or for death. He didn't make anything to die. Death is in the world because of sin. So as wonderful as heaven is, it was never God's intention that human beings live as disembodied spirits in an immaterial world. He gave us physical bodies to live in a physical world. And in connection with the second coming of Jesus, all who have put faith in Christ will be reunited with their bodies at the resurrection of the dead to live on this earth again. That's what resurrection of the dead is. It's not some freaky science fiction thing. It's not some zombie apocalypse kind of a thing. Resurrection of the dead is the reuniting of the inward man and the outward man, which were separated at physical death. Now, physical death is called sleep in the Bible. Yes, it is, and that's where people sometimes get the idea that there's a soul sleep. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Physical death is called sleep in the Bible, not because there's soul sleep, but because death is a temporary condition. Sleep is a temporary condition. You wake up out of sleep. Well, the death of the body is a temporary condition because our body wakes up out of it. That's why it's called sleep. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 says, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." The idea there is not that you soul sleep at death. You lose all consciousness. We've read enough passages from the scripture in the preceding days to show that that's not true. Your inward man passes into the unseen realm, fully aware, fully cognizant, remembering past life and recognizing those who are already there. Waking up out of the dust is a poetic way of saying the body returning to the dust of the earth is a temporary condition that will be rectified at the second coming of Jesus. Paul said he lived with the hope of resurrection. In Acts chapter 23, verse 6, he knew that if his physical body died due to persecution, due to tribulation, or due to old age — that didn't happen, he did die as a result of persecution, he was executed for his faith — he knew that he'd re-enter paradise, or the unseen heaven he had seen years earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first four verses tell us he visited heaven before he ever died. But he lived with the hope of resurrection. He knew that if his body died, he'd re-enter the realm he had visited years earlier, and he knew he'd be reunited with his physical body raised from the dead. He lived with that expectation. He is the one who wrote Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He said, "For our conversation," or literally, "our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for or expect the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body." He was looking for the resurrection of his body at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul actually wrote that verse I just read while he was in prison facing possible execution. He didn't get executed then, but he didn't know he wasn't going to be executed when he wrote those words. Now, prior to going to the cross, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that prior to going to the cross, Jesus raised people from the dead as a foretaste of what it means, what it would mean and what the cross will provide. I didn't say that very clearly. Jesus raised people from the dead during his earth ministry as a foretaste of what the cross was going to provide, resurrection from the dead. But all those that he raised from the dead lived out their lives and died again. Jesus was the first human being to permanently come out of death. He conquered death through his resurrection. His physical body will never die again. His body has been raised from the dead beyond the touch of death. It's been glorified. But he did it for us as us. Now, it's very hard to imagine the impact that resurrection had on Jesus' first followers, because they watched him be crucified and die. They buried his dead body, and 3 days later, he came out of death. Do you know that the Gospel of Matthew tells us that when he was raised from the dead, the graves of many Old Testament saints were also opened following his resurrection? Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53 say, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept came, arose." See, their bodies slept, not them. And their bodies came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. There's something called the Anti-Nicene Library. It's actually a collection of writings from first century Christians, and they report that over 12,000 resurrected believers were seen in Jerusalem during the 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. They returned to heaven with Jesus. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But following his resurrection, Jesus sent his disciples out to proclaim the resurrection in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. "And you shall be witnesses of the things you have seen, my resurrection." And as you read the book of Acts, you find that's exactly what they did. They went out and preached the resurrection. The resurrection is proof that our sins have been fully paid for and wiped out. We've been acquitted of all wrongdoing, all charges dropped, because there's no evidence of wrongdoing, and the resurrection is visible proof that Jesus conquered death. Paul was given a lot of details about the resurrection and the subsequent transformation of our bodies. Almost the entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is about the resurrection of the dead. He referred to Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits, or the guarantee that our bodies are going to be raised from the dead. We have hope in death. More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.